You're listening to Ideal Practice, episode number 20. I've got a question for you guys today. Is it possible, just for a moment, that you might be imposing your personal money beliefs on your clients? That's what we're going to talk about today, how we healers, even as compassionate, experienced, and unusually self-aware as we are, might be imposing our own money beliefs and values on our clients and not even know it. Yeah, this is a little tricky, and it's possible that you might not think this is a problem for you at all. It's also possible that you've never thought about this issue in quite this way before. That's what we're talking about today, my friends. So stay tuned. I'm Wendy Pitts Reeves, and with over two decades of experience in the private practice world, I've built my six-figure business while learning a lot of lessons the hard way. This is the first podcast that shows you how to apply the principles of energy, alignment, and strategy to build a practice that is profit-centered, but people-forward. This is the Ideal Practice Podcast. Hey, folks, this is Wendy. Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode of the Ideal Practice Podcast. What are you guys up to this week? As I'm recording this, my partner and I are getting ready to head over to Nashville for the weekend to visit with some really dear friends. We love these people because every time we go there, the food is delish, the wine is just right, and the conversation is over the top awesome. You know what I'm talking about? Do you guys have people in your life where, you know, like a small group of friends, that when you're together, you just click on a level that is incredibly deep and oh, so satisfying? It's really a rare and beautiful kind of thing. These are the kind of folks that you sit with for hours solving the world's problems and your own. That's how it is with David and Lisa, and I cannot wait to see them. I hope you have people like that in your life too. And if you do, think about sharing this podcast with them, would you? I mean, just, you know, pick out your favorite episode and send them a link. If they're anywhere near as amazing as you are, and if you guys are on the same wavelength too, there's a really good chance that they get excited about their own growth, just like you do. And they might enjoy it too, just like you do. And a heartfelt thank you for helping me spread the word about Ideal Practice. So let's dive into the content, what I want to talk about today. In my last coaching experience, the last coach that I worked with, one of the common phrases that you would hear my peers and colleagues say to each other anytime we were talking about raising prices or making an offer at a somewhat higher level than we were used to thinking at, somebody would hesitate and say, "I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if anyone ever would pay for that. I don't know. Is that kind of crazy? Do I have a right to charge something like that?" And somebody in the room inevitably would say, "Be careful. Stay out of your client's wallet. Don't be getting into your client's wallet." Because we had gotten that from our coach. She was constantly saying that to us. Don't climb into your client's wallet. In the beginning, when I first heard that, I didn't even really get what it meant. But over time, I did. And then a few months ago, I was listening to an online coach and teacher that I really enjoy and appreciate. His name is James Wedmore. I don't know if any of you guys know who he is, but I think he's pretty awesome. I have not worked with him, but I like what he has to say, and I follow a lot of his material. And in a training that he was doing online, he made the comment. He said, "We superimpose our money stories and beliefs on our prospects all the time." He said, "We do it anytime that we assume that we know what their money circumstances are. We do it when we assume that we know what their values are and when we think we know what they want or what's best for them." And he asked the audience, he said, "Why is this a problem?" "Because we could be wrong, people." That was, you know, kind of brilliant. He had a really good point. If I'm assuming that I know what you want, what you need, what you care about, what your circumstances are, and what's best for you, I am putting myself in a position to decide something for you that is not my right to decide. And I could be wrong. But I'll tell you, I would add something to that. I would add that we need to be careful about this because money is a therapeutic issue, just like everything else that comes into our work with our clients. Money is a therapeutic issue when we don't charge what we're worth or what the work is worth. It's a therapeutic issue when we apologize for our fee instead of celebrating our client's decision to honor that fee and invest in themselves. We make money a therapeutic issue when we have really poor boundaries around money with our clients or when we avoid those uncomfortable money conversations completely. Every time we do anything like that, we are making our discomfort our client's discomfort. That's a therapeutic issue. In short, you guys, when we make assumptions about what is best for our clients, I want you to hear this. We are disempowering them in a pretty significant way. And it's sneaky. It's seductive because we are caregivers. We are caring souls. We can't help that. That is woven into our DNA. And when I worry about my clients' finances, can they afford this? Is this okay? I'm just caring about them. And yet, what I am really doing is assuming that I know what's best for them. That's a therapeutic overreach. Now, if you find yourself doing this, I don't want you to beat yourself up about it. I just want you to see that this is something else that you need to learn as you become more at ease in your role as the CEO of a company, as the leader of your business. And in a minute, I'm going to talk you through some very specific things you can do to catch this and turn it around. And I think it's going to be really helpful. But first, before I go there, let me just offer you a little extra support that I was thinking you might like to hear about. If you find yourself getting all twisted up, y'all, in the money side of your practice, if this is something that is really hard, if you trip over what to charge, if you stumble every time it's time to talk to a client about their late payment, if you constantly find yourself feeling guilty because you want to make more money, dang it, then I want you to check out this little course that I have created for you. I've been running it for about a year, year and a half now, and the folks who have taken it tell me that it makes them think about all of this in a way they've never thought about it before. It's called Mind Over Money. Mind Over Money. And I'm not going to tell you the details here. I don't want to take up time with that. But you can learn more about it and learn all the details by going to my website, WendyPittsReeves.com/mind. WendyPittsReeves.com/mind. Go check that out and read about Mind Over Money and see if that might be something that you could use today to get a head start on getting help with this stuff right now. All right, so let me get back to what I want to talk about. So what do you do once you realize that this could be an issue? It could be that you're bringing your values into the equation in a way you don't even know. It could be, I don't know, maybe you're not, but you're kind of curious about it and you want to learn more about it. Well, here's a couple of ideas. First of all, I want you to recognize, study, think about, understand, but recognize your own family money story. And I want you to think about how that plays out in your life today. And there are lots of ways that this could show up, but just a couple of things to think about. For example, did you grow up in a family that had a lot of money stress? Was there tension? Was there a constant worry about there not being enough? If there was, it might happen that today you find that you worry constantly about not having enough, and then you worry about your clients not having enough. Is that possible? Or maybe that wasn't the issue, but maybe you just grew up in a family where no one ever talked about money. It just sort of showed up out of nowhere, and it seemed fine. But the whole concept was a mystery because no one told you anything about it. No one taught you anything about it. It just happened like magic. And so now today, handling money feels a little scary and you don't always understand it. And you may find yourself sympathizing when your clients, when they don't understand it either, or when you see them struggling to sort something out, or you just see them thinking about it for a minute, you may leap to all kinds of conclusions about, oh no, is this too much, too hard, too scary? Yeah. Or, I don't know, maybe your family had pretty healthy access to money, but they never really let themselves enjoy it. Money was like a burden everybody carried, even though perhaps there was plenty of it and your needs were met, everything was fine. But no one ever got to enjoy the fruit of the labor that was bringing in all that money. And so today, the idea of, I don't know, buying a luxury, indulging in some luxury or what feels like luxury to you may stir up all kinds of feelings. Or maybe just the idea of investing in something that feels really big, feels big in a way that is foreign to you. And then when you think about your clients doing the same, it brings up all kinds of internal anxiety. I mean, the first time I hired what I would think of as a big name coach, I've worked with several coaches in smaller arenas, and then over time I moved up into larger programs. And over time, I mean, the first time that I spent thousands of dollars in an investment and a commitment to working with a particular coach, I sat in the driveway in my car and sobbed like a baby, just sobbed. Not because I felt like I was doing something wrong, but because it opened up so many possibilities and so much potential and so much of an idea of what I could do that it just, I kind of had a little freak out, if you want to know the truth. So think about how, if that's happened to you, then when you turn around, you make a similar offer to your client that perhaps is bigger than anything they've ever done before. You may find yourself wanting to shield them from their own fall apart moment where they get a glimpse of what they are capable of as well. There are lots of ways this can be intruding into your work with your clients. Do you see? Is this making a little sense? So I want you to recognize, I want you to think about your family story, how money was perceived, how the energy about it, how people talked about it, what you learned about it in your family growing up, and just begin to think, how is that playing out in my relationships with my clients? The second thing I want you to do is I want you to notice the thoughts and feelings that come up anytime a money topic comes up with a client. And y'all, this can be all kinds of things. Let's say they just mention an expensive vacation that they're planning. Do you listen to that with envy? Do you celebrate that with them? Or are you secretly judging them for that? Maybe they share a hardship, a real serious financial hardship or a big financial worry. Do you pity them? Do you feel sorry for them? Do you find a way that you want to kind of get some money to them? Or maybe you judge them here too. Well, if you weren't planning that big expensive vacation, maybe you can handle this thing. Yeah. Pay attention to the thoughts and feelings that come up anytime you need to talk to them about payment. Do you break out in a sweat? Do you get a knot in your stomach? Do you find yourself feeling guilty or worse, resentful? And y'all, this can be like so many times that we have to talk about this kind of thing. What you charge, whether you take insurance or not, whether they have to pay for a late cancel, when you're raising your rates, when it's time to collect payment, when you want to make an offer for a special package or an intensive or a retreat or something that is a higher dollar item that brings more value, but yeah, it costs more. Any of those kinds of moments when you have to talk about that, what happens? What happens in your body? What happens in your mind? What do you think about? What do you feel about? Notice that. Notice that. That's feedback. And it can be really eye-opening. The third thing, and this is probably the most important of all, and actually, if you do what I've already said, especially if you pay attention to the thoughts and feelings, when you feel some internal discomfort, that's a gift to you. That's a gift. Because that tells you that something important is going on. And when that happens, here's what I want you to do. I want you to watch out for the assumptions you may make about what your client can or can't do, or what your client should or shouldn't do. Should they buy that new car? I don't know. Can she afford it? I didn't think she could afford that. Should they quit the job that they hate? I don't know. Isn't that kind of risky? Do you think that's wise? Should they pay me? I don't know. Can they afford it? Am I even worth it? It's so subtle, this stuff is. And yet, I would say, honestly, that it is a constant backdrop to our work with our clients in ways that we don't even realize. I heard a story one time. I was at a workshop with a therapist who was teaching folks how to shift from an insurance-based model to a self-paid model. This was years ago, long, long time ago. And I still remember this, though. She told the story about how she'd had a client in her office who asked her for a discount. Is there any way you could work with me? I mean, these hourly fees are a bit more than I was kind of planning on. Do you ever offer a discount? And she did, on the spot, of course, happily. I'm happy to do that because that's what we do. And then when the session was over, she walked that client to the door and out into the parking lot to say goodbye to them. And when they walked out in the parking lot, they showed her their new car that they had just bought. And it was a high-end model, like a BMW or a Mercedes, something along those lines. I think it was a BMW, but I could be remembering that wrong. I just remember it was something expensive. She said that she walked back in from that moment and thought, I have got to make some changes in how I am running my practice. So let me just kind of a quick review of what I've just suggested. I want you to study, learn about, and understand your own family money story. What was the energy around money? What were the lessons you learned about money? What were the unconscious messages that you picked up about money? And then think about how could that possibly be showing up now in the way you talk about money or interact with money in your personal life, of course, but especially in your private practice. I want you to, number two, notice the thoughts and feelings that come up anytime a money topic happens with a client, whether it's something coming from you or just a random story they're telling you. And then I want you to watch out for the assumptions that you make about what they can or can't do or should or shouldn't do. It's really subtle. But here's the thing. Here's why this matters. To treat them as if they can't pay or as if they aren't capable of figuring that out for themselves is infantilizing, y'all. It's demeaning. It's disempowering to them. Instead, I want you to treat them with respect. And instead of stepping into the role of caregiver, let me decide what you should pay for, I want you to trust them. Trust them to make the decision that's right for them. That means if you offer a service that is perhaps a little more expensive than some of your colleagues or your peers, but you offer it and price it that way for a solid reason that you are quite clear about, I don't want you to apologize for that. And I don't want you to choke on that. I want you to just lay it out there. If you have created an intensive or a retreat or a workshop or a higher level service package that you really feel like would be good for them, but yeah, it requires them to invest at a higher level, I want you to be comfortable with that. And I want you to just put it out there. Don't joke on it. And I want you to trust them to make the decision that's right for them, whether their answer is yes or no, that it's what's right for them, period. It's not about you. It's about them. And they know what's best. So if you want to learn about this, if you're interested in paying attention to this and you're like, okay, Wendy, you got me thinking, maybe I need to figure this out. Here's something you can do. In your day-to-day work with clients, in your day-to-day with your business, I want you to notice anytime you feel some internal discomfort. You know the feeling, you get a tightness in your throat, for me, I get a certain feeling in the pit of my stomach. You might get sweaty palms. You might literally break out of sweat. I don't know what your particular stress indicator is. But when you have that, notice that. And then I want you to notice, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? And what are you doing? Just notice it. After the client leaves, you might want to take a moment to jot a few notes down in your journal, or just sit and look out the window for a moment and process it, or talk about it with a friend, a colleague, or a coach, even your own therapist. But notice it and learn from it. Because the cool thing is, once you learn how this works and you begin to catch it, you'll stop doing it. And your relationships with your clients will become much more equal, much more mutually respectful, and I think you'll find that your business grows because suddenly you're cool with it and you'll be able to have those money conversations with your client in a way that does not impose your personal money beliefs, limitations, fears, or values on your client. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. Remember, if you're interested in turning your money mindset around, and if you want some help learning about this, go to wendypittsreeves.com/mind to check out my fun little course. It's a 31-day course called Mind Over Money. Those who have already taken it tell me they really like it. And some people have had some kind of magical things happen as a result of it. I think you'll love it. That's what I got for you today, my friends. Have a great week, everybody. Let me know what you learned from this, and I'll see you next time. All right? Bye now.